A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Can you do any impressions?
Can you do any impressions?
Can you do any impressions?
That was me doing an impression of you. Can you do the Louis Theroux?
Irish.
Irish.
Let me try to do it. Ready? That question. Maybe I should ask you.
So like Sean Connery. No,
this is my impression, okay, ready? Of Louis Theroux. Yes. Yes, but I... But that's an interesting... Let me ask you.
That's actually not too bad.
Is that
that's,
actually right?
It's slightly getting there, yeah.
Is it actually getting there?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the listeners are about to get the real...
I can do...
The real Louis.
No,
Theroux.
I want to do some more impressions.
I don't know if you
okay,
should.
I'm going to do another one. So who's this? Okay, who's this? Mush Money Penny.
Come on.
Who is that then?
Come on.
Okay, fine. Who's this?
Is that Postman Pat?
Who's this? Who's this? I know that the ones who love us... will miss us. Who's that?
That is Spencer Matthews, Series 7 in Chelsea.
That's Keanu Reeves.
In
just himself. That just was him in an interview.
Just in
okay,
general.
Who's this? Who's this? Who's this? Who's that? Who's that?
Daffy Duck.
No. That's Seth Rogen and his laugh.
Epic.
Have you ever seen that clip? By the way, welcome to a Friday episode.
By the way, hello. Settle down now.
Who's this then? Help
Mrs.
is
Doubtfire.
On the way. That's Mrs. Doubtfire. Help is on the way. The reason. God. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to Private Parts, the podcast where nothing is off limits. Yeah, we have Josh Berry on the podcast, comedian, impressionist, impersonator, incredible at impressions. Great at loads, and we're going to be doing loads of impressions on the podcast, talk about comedy, what makes things funny. A really fun, amazing episode for you guys on your Friday, whatever you're doing.
He did an impression of that really annoying posh twat off the TV. What's it called? Jamie Lang.
Very funny, big gotcha. Guy. Hey guys, as always, please get in touch for our podcast, for our Instagram at Private Podcast. We would love to hear from you 100%. So let's kick off the episode. You ready?
You know when you say that bit, if you want to get in touch with her, you know you say every episode, you reckon people actually like after the 10th time go, okay, fine.
Yeah, they
now
might do.
I will.
They probably have a question for us.
Yeah, like, no, I'm actually just curious.
If you have a question for us, let us know on our Instagram. We want to hear from you. Stories, anything at all, we want to hear it.
It's a community.
It is a community, actually.
Come on in.
Okay, everybody, Josh Berry on the podcast. Enjoy the episode and enjoy your Friday.
It's a very good one.
There we go.
Hey, come on. All right.
Enjoy it. Have you ever been fired from a job?
I quit Waitrose when I was a kid.
Sorry.
How did you quit?
We're under no illusions here.
Very middle class.
Yes, you got headhunted by Tesco's.
I started doing impressions, and I said to my mum, I was like, well, if I can do this many gigs, then you have to let me not pick people shopping at Waitrose. And I was so bad at it. I used to pick all the wrong stuff. And that started to get back to me because my mum's friends had stuff that had been picked by me and they were like, it's all wrong.
These are quail's eggs.
Right. Awful. Well, we all shop there, let's be honest.
Speak for yourself.
A Whole Foods.
Yeah, I am. That's exactly. Whole Foods is so expensive.
Whole Foods is more expensive than
Waitrose. Yes, Whole Foods is like you. If you go to Whole Foods and you get food, it's like paying for a dinner. It's like a night out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Like,
it's to Waitrose what Aldi, Aldi to Waitrose is Whole Foods to Waitrose, right? It's
where do you shop? Some guy bought his food.
I grow my own alcohol. I grow my own beers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got some moonshine out back as well. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So, Alex.
Don't need to eat much when you're on that.
Alex was in Sainsbury's once. And I got a message from some guy saying I just had to buy Alex his alcohol. And he was in Sainsbury's and his card wasn't working.
So just a member of the public.
You also just made that last bit up.
No, he didn't message me on Instagram.
Some guy did message you, but he was taking the piss. And now you've run with the story.
Yeah, it's true.
But that's what you can do when you're famous. Yeah. That was just a random member of the public.
That is the whole reason that I did 10 years of reality TV, was so that I could get a bottle of wine bought.
So what did you say? You went out to him like, mate, I'm actually on Made in Chelsea. So,
mate, he was fully aware of who I was.
Okay.
You
didn't do the do you know who I am, you just did obviously
that's Jay's tactic.
I've never done that ever.
Yeah, you do. I'm Jay Murang from Heat Radio.
I've never ever. Wait, Josh, so you quit Waitrose?
Yeah, I quit. Yeah.
Old were you at this time?
I was 17, I think. It was pretty monumental. I mean, I didn't want to do it. And I quit. I mean, it's painting me in a bit of a bad light.
I did night shifts in Sainsbury's. It was intense. Wow.
How long?
It was actually so sweet. When I left, the women that I work with, and they work so hard. They would work the night shift and then they would go and do like nannying jobs in the day.
Yeah.
When do they sleep?
Well, I don't know. I don't think they do.
When they're dead. Asleep on the dead.
Yeah.
No fear. That was a tagline on my t-shirt. I think,
sleep in the baked bean aisle. When I left to go traveling, they gave me a card and a leaving present, and it was a huge liter bottle of Glen's vodka. I was like, yes, that's how they get through it.
Really? So you did the night shift?
Yeah, it was quite intense. So started at 9, finished at 7 in the morning.
And I was what quite, age?
That I was just before going traveling, so I would have been 18.
Oh, before the gap year, obviously. Yeah,
before the gap year.
It was to fund
the gap year.
Was it Bali, Australia?
Didn't make it to Bali, made it to Australia for 3 days. Yeah, yeah.
Mine wasn't. Try and guess mine.
Thailand.
Surely Thailand, yeah.
No, it didn't do that.
That's not, no?
Didn't do that.
No. South America?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But like Brazil and...
Yeah. I went to Argentina and we stayed in Buenos Aires and we meant to stay there in Veria Acevedo, this place, right, which was like in...
Sorry, was that?
Palermo. It's in Palermo in Buenos Aires.
Nice.
And we stayed in this apartment, and this apartment was like a two-bed apartment. One of the rooms didn't have aircon, so it was literally roasting hot in this room. It was so hot in this place. The apartment was so cheap. There was a suit in one of the cupboards that was just there. My friend Jim Ivory wore the suit every night for a month.
Your friend what?
My friend Jim.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah. Jim Ivory. Oh, sorry. I thought it was some sort of hilarious STD-sounding. Jim Ivory was my friend.
My friend Jim Ivory wore it every day for a month in the evenings. And this one day, there was like this white leather sofa in the sort of sitting room area, or the only sort of like communal sitting room area.
Did he think he was a legend, by the way, for doing that every night? He's like,
Jim's wearing the suit again.
That's only funny for like 3 nights.
I was going to say, after a week, you're like, what are you like?
It's starting
Ivory
to smell now, Ivory. Get it off.
Yeah, stop it, Ivory. So many things actually happened. So, my friend Rory, who I was traveling with, when I was asleep, he drew in marker pen a huge cross on my back, and I woke up and it was just really funny, ha ha ha. And then I went and fell asleep on the leather sofa, and I got up and woke up and I had imprinted the cross onto this leather.
What colour was the leather? White.
Yeah, it was a white leather sofa.
Oh, God. Where were you staying? It sounds so weird.
That happened. We then organised a party for Jim Ivory, my friend.
Yeah.
And it was a surprise birthday party. We didn't tell him. And loads of people who were out in South America at the time, we organised this dinner. And we all left the room, left the apartment, got into the communal lift, all five of us.
Yeah.
And we started jumping up and down the lift going, the boys are back in town, the boys are back in town. And the lift broke. And we got stuck.
I'm so glad I didn't meet you whilst you were travelling.
I love the fact that
you're some guy wearing an old suit and you're in a lift going, yeah. The boys are back in town.
Yeah, the boys were.
And just everyone was there as well. Everyone just happened to also be in South America at that point. Yeah. So just all the chaps together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Radley, 08. Yeah, yeah.
It was that, actually. It was freaking wicked. It was wicked. And then that happened. And so then we got stuck in the lift and... God, I remember thinking when I was traveling, and we were lucky enough. Did you get to travel, by the way?
I had a less of a fun time than you did, but tell your story and I'll tell you about
it. Yeah, so, but I remember thinking when I was traveling, and I was very lucky to, I remember thinking the only thing I have to worry about is dying. Like, that is like, as long as I don't die, that's going to be okay. I had no responsibilities. I had no homework, no exams. I wasn't at university. It was like the most liberating. I had no phone. I used to have to go to the... It was this amazing period in my life where I remember thinking, God, we had hardly any money. We used to like go and buy noodles and eat those. And it was just the most liberating experience.
Mm, mm.
What's your story? Is your
completely story the opposite of it.
You went and did that.
I'm not that type of privileged person, no. No, I'm all for me. I went to Australia with my then girlfriend who'd been away traveling for a bit. And we decided to go around Australia in a camper van, which already awful. Just
already
sweaty. Well, sure.
Hang on, so then you came back from traveling and then you went to university?
That was after university
university?
Yeah, yeah. I was just so eager to drink in knowledge when I was 18.
Yeah, because you went to Oxford.
That is, I am sorry. Yes, that's true. Yeah, I did. Yeah,
but with those things, I always think that my brother went to Oxford and he studied classics. Of all things, he studied classics.
Ah, yes.
And I've never seen anyone in my entire life so stressed.
Yeah, like when it came
I was doing theatre and performance at Leeds. And I did just no work, like nothing at all.
Yeah.
But at Oxford, it's you know, the amount of like pressure that is on these for you to achieve, because it's almost given to you like it's a privilege you're at this place.
Yeah.
So you should be, you know, working hard. So did you have that when you were there?
Yeah, I mean, but I guess maybe against that. I mean, Boris Johnson read classics, of course, and he seems to be having a great time. So I don't know how much pressure he feels.
Did he go to Oxford?
Yeah, yeah.
Boris Johnson went to Oxford.
Where do you think he went?
Where else was he going to go?
An Etonian Oxford graduate.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of pressure. And there's also a lot of people there, you know, who are very kind of confident, and I think when you're surrounded by people like that, you can just feel like, what the hell am I doing here?
What did you study?
Philosophy and theology, which really,
come on,
there's no job in that, is there? Which is why I'm a comedian now. There's absolutely nothing at the end of it, unless you want to be a vicar, which I can't
save,
be.
Save that.
Yeah, I'll save that. Save that for the midlife crisis.
What is it's true. When you come out of university, what is the job that you?
Well, I mean, I did a history degree, and look where that got me.
Sure. No, but at least we've all made it, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's true. So there's this like big discussion at the moment whether like you know, university schooling is like a good thing, right? Like, is it? Well, there's that guy who's a pretty intense online. He's called Gary Vaynerchuk. Have you seen this guy?
No.
Gary V. Have you ever?
No. What does he do?
He's like a sort of social media sort of guy who talks about business and different things and all this stuff. And he sort of says, never go to college. There's no point going to college.
He's one of those.
He's one of these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
But and so there's a kind of like theme now where people think that actually going to university is a waste of time. But I actually disagree with that. I think university for me was, I didn't really work that much, but it was a place where I definitely grew up. Understood life and things like that.
Yeah, I think that's true. And it's also just a great place to meet interesting people, right? Because it keeps your world big, I think, at university. Whereas, I don't know, like if you go straight into a job, it makes everything a bit smaller. I think
you've got people from all over that are coming into one place, so it's quite nice, rather than just being in your small town.
Wait, so when did you think, right, I'm studying philosophy, so I should probably find something to do. I'm going to become a comedian.
Yeah, well, I kind of always did I thought I was going to be a lawyer, which is just so boring. And I spent
why,
a lot
why
of
did you
my
think
time,
you were going to be a lawyer?
Well, I was like, oh, this is a job my parents will love me for, so I'll try and do this. And I spent a lot of my degree just in the library, very boring. But I always did impressions as a kid, and then I started doing more and more of those online, and I was like, oh, I'd much rather, this is much more fun than, you know, sticking up for the bad guys.
Did your impressions suddenly, because honestly, I have you ever heard?
Yeah.
You've heard Josh's impressions?
Yeah, they're great.
They are thanks. Unbelievable. And we have a mutual friend, and Josh, we've met before on another podcast, but we have a mutual friend of ours, Tom Lucy.
Yeah.
And Tom Lucy always says that you, whenever you voice note him, you only voice note him as Louis Theroux.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that. Is that the sort of thing that I would do? I don't know if I do that. Is that a bit weird doing that? I do. He sort of says, could you send my girlfriend a message being like, how are you doing? Tom's sorry because he was late or something. He's normally misbehaving in some sort of way. And he's like, can you apologize for that? And I do it and I get him back in the good books.
Yeah. It's so unearthly good, the impression that it's almost like you're... Like, it's almost weird to hear it because you don't expect it to be so real. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess I've just spent years and years and years and years watching, because I'm such a fan of him, and like, and he has...
Have you met him?
I haven't. He follows me on Instagram. Oh, well, yeah. Last time I checked, there's always the anxiety induced. Oh, does he still follow me?
you get anxiety.
Do you check every morning?
Yeah, I'm like, is Louis still following me? I can't go on if Theroux isn't still...
You've got anxiety because Louis Theroux might not be following you anymore.
That's how my mind works. A good thing happens, I'm like, oh, the good thing could go away.
I start to think this is less of an impression and actually just an obsession.
Sure, like, it is.
I mirrored him.
I wanted to send him a voice note when he followed me being like, thanks for the follow. How are you doing? Just wanted to say, if you ever wanted to meet up, let me know. I think that could be great. Would you like that?
It's so good. So you've never ever met him or anything, or messaged him or said anything to him?
No, I'm kind of, I feel like I'm biding my time, waiting for the right moment, you know? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, what is that moment?
I don't know. I'd always wanted to do a sketch where I'm Louis and he's obviously Louis and we're like interviewing each other. Mm-hmm. And they could be quite fun. Like, how are you doing? I come to interview Louis. Louis, am I sort of interviewing you? Are you interviewing me right now?
It's like a weird Inception type thing.
Yeah, I like those.
But just how does that...
And then at the end of the sketch, we fuck. That's how, how it ends. That's
God, then you start making out.
Yeah,
which
sure.
Is okay.
That's the only way to finish a sketch like that.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts. Now, today, very exciting, we have a very, very special visitor, if that's what you have on podcasts, as part of our paid partnership with PayPal. Candice Brathwaite is here, an entrepreneur, an author, internet's big sister / auntie. Candice, how are you today?
I'm very, very well, guys. Thank you for having me.
What a list of credentials. Where's mine, Jamie?
Okay, and we got Alex Mitten, my co-host.
He's a man. He's got legs.
He's a man. He's breathing. And he goes bowling once a month. It's Alex Mitten. Here he is. He likes stickers. This is Alex.
Thank you
Mitten.
For that intro, Jamie. Thank you so much.
Kenny, tell us, so you have a mission, right? For everyone to talk about, you know, financial wellness. What does that mean?
Basically, it means having positive conversations surrounding money. People would rather talk about sex and or death than their overdraft or like what their credit score is saying. I feel like the only way to rid this stigma and really work on our financial wellness is to have a conversation. And for me, that means speaking about it openly and honestly, and also being positive about the possibilities, because no matter where you are at with your finances, it can always be changed.
Change is important. Change is good. I like change.
I've realized that throughout my sort of 20s and things like that, that I was always sort of charging towards, okay, let's do this job, let's make some money, let's do this all the time. And actually now what I'm really looking forward to this year, especially after the 2 years we've had, is spending money on experiences.
Jamie, you're getting married this year, right? I mean, that has to have big financial goals attached to it.
I'm getting married this year and I didn't realize lots of things. Okay, for example, apparently you're meant to have a wedding scent. That costs money. What is a wedding scent? But we're paying for it, which is good. We're paying for a wedding scent.
That sentence is just going to remind you of being financially unwell.
And then also, I had to buy an engagement ring. What is that?
I mean, that's kind of obvious. I mean, like, if you remembered the scent and not the ring, then you'd be in trouble.
I got married last November, and we planned it in 13 days. And in those 13 days, we still spent 20 grand. And I only invited 30 people.
What scent did you go for? I'm so intrigued.
I can't even bloody remember now. With a wedding, with those special moments, when it comes to money, there are a lot of external pressures. Guys, before we go, I just want to know, what do you now know about money that you wish you knew when you were younger?
That it's not free. That was the big one. Someone told me this once, which is so true. Money is sort of like blood. It does flow. And I think that's important. So if you have the ability to sort of, be generous to people if you can, and to your friends, to your family members, it kind of flows in that way. So if you, and it sort of comes around. I think sometimes we have this tendency to just keep hold of it. Mm-hmm. But actually it's a good way, I think, to be generous, because it flows like blood if you treat it that way.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I learned, I think. Alex, what about you?
Well, the biggest devastating blow was learning it doesn't grow on trees. That was sad. I guess it's kind of similar to what you said, kind of mirroring that, like it's getting that healthy relationship with it, like knowing why, like money is important, right? We need it to live our lives and do the things that we love doing, but it's not the be all and end all. Our drive shouldn't be purely just to make that money. It should be to enrich our life experience and to enrich other people's lives around you, and just have a nice time, really.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I've learned.
Yeah. Life and business is paid in two currencies, cash and experience. Take the experience first and the cash will come later.
Yeah.
Do it because you want to love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, there is a good horse running at 2:00.
Candy, listen, thank you so much. Should we do this every week? Should we just have a little catch up about these things?
This was great. It's made me perky. I'm very positive. Like, I'm going to go and like take my crystals out and do my meditation and plant a money tree. That's like my vibe.
I love that. Candies, thank you so much. A big thanks to PayPal for sponsoring the episode. With more ways to shop, pay, donate, and send money, there are more ways to PayPal. A reminder that you must be over 18 to have a PayPal account and send and receive money. Thank you so much for listening.
With Louis Theroux's ones, it's like when he did that porn one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that one.
Yeah, I know, because he sort of stands there.
Yeah.
just watching people there, and he's sort of trying to be a documentary maker,
sure,
but at the same time you're still watching people have sex, so it's quite a weird,
yeah. I particularly enjoy, I mean, that came out when I was like in my mid-teens, so I found that particularly exciting, but it obviously is so funny that Louis is just like, one of my favorite bits in the porn one is when he's talking about, I think, well, there's no easy way to say this, five men ejaculate on a woman's face. That's basically what happens. And Louis Theroux, in classic Theroux fashion, is like, so how was that? How was the sort of moment when those five men sort of came to finish their business on you?
Is that... Yes, yes, that's exactly
unbelievable. Unbelievable.
How do I put this? Yeah,
But I sort of, how would you say, sort of finish their, get rid of their load? It's awful, isn't it?
No, it's so good. But where does that like where does that sort of talent come from? There, how do you such, like? I always find this funny. Like singers, for example, I always think: do you suddenly sit in the car and everyone's going, "The wheels on the bus go," and then one person in the back goes, "The wheel."
It's right.
How do you suddenly know that you have this knack for? Does it come from a place of insecurity because you're wondering about how to be other people in a sense?
Big time. I'm damaged, Jamie. You got me.
Okay, got you.
Quite a heavy question.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It was really loaded. Does it come from a deep-seated fear of accepting yourself?
Yes,
it does. Yeah, I'm in therapy. It's ongoing.
That was a really loaded question.
It is true, though. I think, it comes often from an interest in people. Like I find like Louis's like whole thing so interesting that but just generally I quite like watching people and working out their tics and everything. Mm. I just find that interesting. I think a lot of comedians aren't that interested in people, but I've always been like fascinated. And I always used to do like impressions of teachers and characters and stuff when I was a kid.
So you were the class clown in a sense.
I guess so. But also I think if you're a comedian, you're sort of quite, Tom Lucy always says, I'll do his voice as well. This is sort of his voice.
You know, comedians are like introvert extroverts, you know.
it's a bit of a caricature.
But it is those, as a comedian, like we were talking about this with Phil Wang the other day, like what makes funny?
Yeah.
Someone once said to me, and I think it was Lloyd Griffiths. Who, by the way, has an amazing talent. You can show him a cathedral and he knows exactly where the cathedral is.
Oh, really?
Just by a picture.
Well, he's got a voice like an angel, Lloyd Griffiths.
Yeah, he's an opera singer.
As does Phil Wang. Did you know that?
No.
He genuinely sings like a choir boy. It's amazing. That sounds like I'm making it up, I promise you. At the Fringe a few years ago, there was a show called like A Musical. And he came out and sung Maria from West Side Story.
He was insane.
Really? Genuinely, it was like so. He's amazing. Yeah. Next time you see him,
it actually really touched you. Like, yeah.
It really affected me. I think about it a lot. So I'm like, why isn't this on Spotify? I need this in my life. Ask him next time you see him to sing for you.
I also love it when someone is so like they want them to know. No, he actually is really good.
I promise you.
Seriously, he's really good. You've got to watch this. It's like really good.
He should be in the charts.
But Phil Wang was talking about what makes funny, and Lloyd was saying. He says a typical comedian, he thinks, is when someone's in a room and someone says something and then he left the room and he would go, I should have said that.
Yeah, right.
And the other one that I spoke to was Ivo, who's another friend of mine. Ivo said that he used to watch, you know, Mock the Week and things like that. Mm. And he would say the funny thing before the contestants. He's like, God, did you have that as well?
I think there's definitely a feeling of sort of being the quietest person in a room very often.
Really?
Because I think you're kind of, there's a shyness oddly for people who stand up on a stage in front of loads and loads of people.
Yeah,
you're also quite shy and introspective very often. I think that tends to be a character trait and incredibly reflective. You have to, I guess that's kind of what Phil is alluding to, right? When he's like, you're like, oh, I should have said that. It's like you're turning stuff over in your head constantly.
Mm.
And that's probably why like mental health among comedians can be a bit ropey because you're just constantly thinking about stuff.
Is that a thing? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think...
So yeah, it's the clown. It's the clown aspect, right? The
I guess
because
you're always on show and then what do you do when you're not?
But also you just get so obsessed with your... What, like Bo Burnham, have you seen that? Bo Burnham's Inside on Netflix?
No, I've not seen it.
It's worth watching. But he really like explores that in a really interesting way, like how incredibly damaging it was to his mental health because he just got obsessed with creating this piece of work, which is amazing, but also, yeah, I don't know. And also, you know, like, it's not necessarily that healthy a lifestyle being a stand-up.
No, I think what it is also is everything is content.
Right.
And that is the really difficult thing, which is you're walking down the street and someone falls off a bus. Oh, I'll clock that in my mind. That'll be funny to put in my sketch there.
Totally.
And so you're never off. No, but it's when you know when
everything in your life is content. Nothing is safe. I mean, your wedding is being
screwed.
Is that content? Is that being on YouTube Live?
Yeah, fuck you. You're not going to be invited anymore.
You can't do that. I'm Usher.
Yeah, you are an Usher. That's true. Alex, I think, is going to organise the stag.
Oh, really? Where are you going?
Bognor Regis, I think.
Where would we go if we were going to do it? Where would we go?
The dam? Amsterdam?
Amsterdam.
Go for a great weekend in Amsterdam. It'll be crazy.
You sound like a Euro student.
Or like a sort of like a Euro DJ, right? Like, put your hands in the air, guys.
The bass line. Can you feel the bass line in the back?
Can you feel it?
You sound more like an American,
American
dad or something. but it is, I think everything's content, right? And when I did Chelsea, I made Chelsea for so long, what happened is that
is that how people know you?
I think they know me from Bake Off.
No, Heat Radio.
Surely.
My taxi driver said to me today, he went, you're the, and I went, and he went, And I went, made in Chelsea. He went, no, not. What is it? And I went, oh, I don't know. He went, catchphrase. And I went, yep, that's me. The guy from Catchphrase.
That's obviously what he watches.
I know, but like it's like a
20... You made an impression, obviously.
That's one of the most embarrassing things where you're having to walk someone to the door of your own. And you're like, I didn't
Korea.
Ask yeah, you
Korea.
To be like...
Welcome to doing reality TV.
Yeah, like, where do I know you from? Yeah. And you're like, it's like you're on a witness stand being like, well, I think here. And they're like, no. And it's like, why am I in this dynamic?
Spent many nights in clubs with someone going... Where the fuck? Oh, hey, get over it. Like, they'll get all their mates. And, Where's he from? Where's he from? And then they still don't work it out. You're like, fuck's sake.
And then you say, buy me some booze, please.
Yeah. Where's my beer?
But anyway, with the idea of the mental health side of things, so when I did Chelsea for that many years, you start doing the show, right? So, and you do your first scene, you're nervous and whatever happens. And you, as an individual, I then watched it back, what I did. And you go, I was funny in that scene there. Mm. So... people like me being funny. Okay, I've got to be funny.
Right.
And then in the next scene, I was loud. The response is, they like me. So I've got to be louder.
Sure.
Slowly by slowly, you're morphing yourself into sort of a volumed up version of who you are.
Yeah.
Created a monster.
You do. And the fact that we were filming 152 days a year.
Sure.
So you were then filming all that time. So you're volumed up at half of your life all the time. So then when I would leave a scene and go and meet friends, I would still think I was in the scenes. I still thought what I had to do in that place is be funny, loud, and all those different things.
Right.
And psychologically, that's pressure. And I think that's what happens with comedians as well, because they're on stage and doing it all the time. It's almost, where's the off switch? How do you turn off?
Yeah, but there's also this weird thing of sort of what do you actually want, right? After a show, yeah, you can not be able to turn off and constantly be making jokes. But also you're like, okay, do I want the show to carry on? Well, I probably don't want that, because that would be unsustainable. Do I want to be alone? Well, probably not that either. And it's almost like unattainable, whatever it is, that perfect state that you're looking for. And I think
that's when people drink, right? That's when you go and drink and do all those different things.
Sure.
But it's one of those things, though, that the other person who talks about it are actors, right? So Daniel Day-Lewis has it, or I think it's famously Robert De Niro has it. Because they've played so many characters in their life, they almost forget their sense of self. So it's really important. I suppose my question is, how do you switch off? How do you then, okay, when you're... you go into work, because normally what happens is people get up in the morning, they go to the office, and you know the reason why I think, you know, sometimes wearing a suit or something like that was a good thing is because it's almost stepping into a role. So then when you take the suit off, you are stepping out of the role. That means you can switch off, right?
Yeah.
That's why at school it's quite a good thing to wear uniform and things like that, because it actually means there's a separation between the two.
It's the ritual, right?
And the problem with being a comedian or in the entertainment industry is that it's never off.
Right.
You're constantly on.
Yeah, everything all the time is usable. And so you're right. Like, it feels like if I'm not switched on at this point, I could lose something.
Yes.
Which is a terrible way to actually think, right? Because it's totally unsustainable and is exhausting. But yeah, I'm not very good at that. There's definitely something I need to work on, because like... I'm
glad you admitted it.
Yeah. No, but I'm like,
thank God. That's what I was trying to get to.
God, Dr. Lang, you're right. How much do I owe you for the hour?
God, that would be terrifying.
Yeah. That's why I would love to do psychology and help individuals.
I'm not sure you're in a position to help.
I'm in a freaking.
I don't know. You're drunk half the time. You're abusive. You're a misogynist. You probably prey on your.
Prey on who? People to get better, yeah.
Prey on them.
Yeah, as in prey upon them. The vicar. All right, Josh, listen, we got to the end of part one here, by the way. I heard a little rumour that potentially you can do an impression of me.
I can certainly give it a go. I think, I've been listening to you a fair amount. My friend Archie Mann as well, mutual friend, does a very good you. So I think I might call on that a little bit. But yeah, there's some stuff here.
All right, come back for part two when you're going to hear Josh's impression of me. See you in a bit.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.